kid, you know, fireman, policeman. I wanted to be a race car driver one time. And you're just thinking about that. What, you know, what am I going to do? Is it that's, you know, you want to, when you were a kid, you played, we played games like the war game. You know, we played army and we always wanted to be the hero. You know, we never died. We always get the bad guys. We played Indians and cowboys and Indians. I guess none of that's politically correct now, but cowboys and Native Americans. And cowboys always won, by the way. But we did those things, and we always wanted to win. We wanted to be the hero. We wanted to do something significant. Later in life, when I was older, I was interested in radio. And when I was in high school, because my voice was kind of low, and all my classmates said, "Oh man, you ought to be on the radio. You ought to be on the radio." I actually applied at Columbia School of Broadcasting. Had an interview, did a demo. They accepted me to do that, but then I didn't follow through. I didn't fulfill that. I never thought, you know, hey, I'm going to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher. And I looked in the Bible today, you know, or yesterday. I was looking through some things at the young people and that God used. And I want to say this before we, you know, with the Youth Sunday. There's nothing that we're going to do, and there's a lot of things that are needed. I mean, yeah, we know we need brain surgeons and doctors and lawyers, and we need that. But there's nothing that we'll ever do that'll be greater than serving God. Amen. There's not a single thing. I read an illustration, memory being what it is. I can't remember this particular man's name, but this man was the Postmaster General of the United States. I forget which one it was. He was also a Christian man, and he was a member of a very large church, and he was the Sunday school superintendent of that church. And somebody asked him, they said, "How do you have time to be the Sunday school superintendent of your church and at the same time be the Postmaster General of the United States?" And he said, "The superintendency of this Sunday school is the most important job. It has the priority over everything, including the being the Postmaster General." He said, "That's my priority." And so it doesn't matter how young, and it doesn't matter how old. Sometimes you think you're too young to serve God. And sometimes we get older, we think, "Man, I'm too old to serve God." You know, Moses was 80 before God even started to use him. There's not a limit, you know, on who God can use. It has to do with availability, you know, giving ourselves to God. But there's nothing greater. We'll never do anything greater than serving God Almighty. That's the greatest thing we'll ever do. We may do some other great things, but it won't top that. We have the best boss in the world, by the way. Amen. And so without further ado, of course, today, Youth Sunday, and Damian Mitchell will be up here in just a second. He's my grandson. Of course, he wasn't coerced by his parents or myself to get a message together. Danielle and Brian said one day, Damien came running in the bedroom, say, "Hey, I got a message. I want you to hear it." He went in there and preached to him and what God had laid on his heart. Brian's worked with him some on his introduction and closing. And if you've ever done public speaking, you know it's not easy to do. But this is something that God has laid upon him. Wasn't compelled by any adult to do. When we got to Youth Sunday together, I said, "Hey, Damien's already got an outline he felt like God has laid on his heart. We've prayed for him. I'm confident that God can use him. God will use him today. Y'all pray for him." And so, and another perk is, Damien, you don't realize this yet, but always when we have a guest speaker, he is the first guy that gets to go through the line when we go eat. So come on up here, buddy.
Well, hello everyone. Thanks for coming out, and I want to thank my grandpa for letting me preach up here. I mean, I know it kind of sounded like a joke when I asked him, can I preach sometime? But no, he's serious. He let me preach. And I want to thank my parents for Brian for helping me out, kind of. I mean, I got this message together by myself, but he sort of helped me out. I want to thank my mom for raising me up in the church ever since I was a little kid. And, well, I also want to thank everyone else that helped out with the Youth Sunday, the song leader, all the kids in the choir, and the ushers, and everyone else, because I'm really nervous right now, and I know it takes a lot to get up here and talk in front of a bunch of people. So, this morning I'm going to be in the book of Judges. That's where I'm preaching. It's in Judges chapter 10. So, just Judges chapter 10. Still hear pages flipping. Anyways, Judges chapter 10, verse 10. And it says, and the children of Israel. And also, when I read this, I want you to count how many times you see the word God. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you. And ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen, and let them deliver you from in the time of tribulation. So how many times did it say God? Three times, right? I'm pretty sure it's three times. And, well, the word God, we hear it a whole lot in church. It's in the Bible, just about every chapter of the Bible. And, yeah, we hear it every time we come to church. And even outside of church, we hear the word God a lot. But one thing we don't really think about, what does God really mean? What does that word really mean? I mean, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word God? When you hear the word God, you probably think, oh, he's like the creator of the universe. He created everything. He sent his son to die. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Well, that is one definition of God. But there is two different meanings of God. And one is spelled with the capital G, and the other is spelled with the lowercase g. Now, in the Bible, in the verses that I just read, the capital G God was said once, and the lowercase was twice. And so the capital God is the God most of us think of when we hear the word God. Yeah, he's the God that I hope we all believe in, the powerful God. Now, most of us know there's also false gods, you know. Like, they're still God, but they're spelled with the lowercase G-O-D. Because they're not as powerful. And some of the false gods we think of are maybe like the Greek gods. I mean, they have a bunch of false gods. They have like a sun god and a moon god and like all different stuff. They all have different names, too. See, most other gods, they have names. But our God doesn't have a name. It's just, well, he does have a name. It's God, because he is God, the God. And some other things, like there's also a bunch of false gods in the Bible, like the one right here. It was Balaam. That's one of the false gods that the Israelites were serving. Buddha, that's another false god. I'm sure most of you have heard of that. Just a little statue. It's not real. But some people believe in it. And then volcanoes. I mean, that even is a god. Like Hawaiians and some people, I've heard, where they serve volcanoes. And they'll get out on a little bridge above the volcano, and they'll take their kids and get in the middle, and they'll throw their kids into the volcano because they believe it's a god, and it'll get angry if they don't give up a sacrifice. But so those are all a bunch of false gods. But did you know that a god can be anything? It could be like literally anything, even a person. That what a god is who or whatever you put number one in your life. That's your god. So there's two types of gods, like I said before, capital G-O-D and lowercase G-O-D. Now the capital G-O-D is powerful. Let's take a look in verses 11 and 12. It says, "And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand." That's seven times from seven different nations the Israelites got in trouble, and the capital God, the powerful God, delivered them. He saved them all seven times. I don't think any of the small gods could have done that. And, I mean, even other things God does. He parted the Red Sea. Moses didn't do it. God did. He walked on water, and he let Peter walk on water. And there he let Jonah get swallowed by a whale and then spit back out and live. And he let Noah build this giant ark, huge. I mean, it's bigger than some of us could imagine. It's so big that every animal on at two. Like, think of all the animals in the world. There's so many, you can't even name them all. You got two of every animal on the ark. That's how big the ark was. And that's how powerful God is. And now, then there's the lowercase gods. These are the gods that some of us worship, and we may not realize it, but if we're putting lowercase gods first in our life, then we're worshiping them. They are our God. Now, some false gods, some big ones, are like the internet. That's a big one. I mean, there is a bunch of wrong stuff on the internet. And if you're putting the internet number one, using the internet more than you are reading your Bible, believe it or not, you're putting that as your God. And the TV, too. There's church Sunday night. Now, the church is a lot more packed Sunday morning than it is Sunday night. That's because a bunch of people, they'd rather sit at home and maybe serve another false god, watch TV. If you're doing that instead of coming to church, that is your God. Now, your sports could be your God. Now, the Super Bowl is on a Sunday every year. And Super Bowl Sunday, that night, is usually when we have some of the least amount of people in the church. I mean, you may be saying, oh, it's just one Sunday out of the whole year I'm missing. Well, still, that's still putting sports before God. And if your kid has a sport or something, even going to it, even if it's your kid's first sport on maybe a Sunday night, it's still putting sports before God if you'd rather go to that than miss church. Rather go to that than church. And your job could be a God. I mean, some people have jobs on Sundays or Sunday night or Wednesday night and missing church. That is putting your job as your God. And you may be thinking, oh, my boss makes me work. I can't quit. Even if you have to talk to your boss or you do quit your job, God's going to take care of you. Trust me. And even yourself, you could be a God. Now you might be thinking, how do you put yourself as a God? Well, not going to church because you want to do something else. Now, a lot of you might be thinking, oh, I'm in church right now. I mean, I'm not putting anything before God. Well, Sunday school this morning, I'm going to say about half the people that are here right now weren't in Sunday school.
Amen.
Why? Is it because... I mean, why is that? Is it because you'd rather you had to sleep? You were at home sleeping and it was too early? Well, that's putting your own sleep before God. That's putting yourself before God. So, believe it or not, a bunch of us serve these false gods. Now, a false god may be fun to worship. Maybe rather be asleep at home than come to church, but it won't help you when you're in trouble. If you look in verse 10, see the Israelites, they were serving another god called Baalim, and they ended up getting kidnapped again. So what do? They do what a bunch of us do. They're serving another god. And then they get in trouble, so they go to God for help. In verse 10, it says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, Lord is capitalized. That's just another word for the big G-O-D. Now, it even says at the bottom, it says, and also they've also served Baalim. So they've been serving another god, but as soon as they get in trouble, they know that other god's not going to do anything for them. So they go and cry unto the Lord. And if you look at the beginning of verse 14, this is what God says. He says, go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. So obviously, they didn't choose God. And now that they're going to God, God's like, what do you mean? You haven't been serving me, and now you expect me to deliver you again for the eighth time. So, yeah, that's why you don't want to serve a lowercase G-O-D. Now, point three I have, it's called only one, number one. You know what that means? Only one, number one. If you're in a race, only one person comes in number one when they have the results. They don't have two people that won and came number one. If two people do finish at the exact same time, then they'll do like a tiebreaker or something. And so you can't have two number ones. That's why they call it number one. There's only one.
Amen.
Now, and that's the same with God, because remember I said, God is whatever you put number one. So if you can't have two number ones, what does that mean? You can't have two gods. So the Israelites, they were trying to have two gods. They were trying to serve this other god. And then they're also saying, oh, yeah, I'm praying. I mean, we just got in trouble, so then I'm going and praying to God. No, you can't have two gods. So if you choose a small god, if you're putting a false god before the real God, then that's the God you're choosing, and you can't choose the big God. So if some of us are going through some problem, and we've been praying, and God hasn't really been doing anything, well, I mean, I don't know if this is real, like, the reason, but one of the reasons may be because you're not serving God. You're serving another God. That's it. So, I got a question for you. Think about it. Who is your God? I mean, I haven't just been sitting up here talking because the person behind you really needs to hear it. No, think about it for yourself. Who's your God? I mean, I'm sure a lot of us thinking, oh, it's the big God. That's our God. That's the God I've been serving. But I know that not everyone is serving the real God. If that was true, you'd have been here for Sunday school. You'd be here Sunday night. You'd be here Wednesday night. You'd be here at every service we do because God is your God, and you wouldn't, But, so, just think, everybody knows, you know exactly who your God is. You know exactly who it is. You know if it's the big God, which it may be, but you also know if it's a false God, and you know what you've been spending most of your time worshiping. You know it, and God knows it, and maybe some other people know it too. But don't worry, because just because you've been serving another God doesn't mean God doesn't want you anymore. You've just been serving something else, so now you have to stick with it. God doesn't want you. No, it's not too late to turn to the big God. Because if you look in these verses that I haven't read yet, I saved for the end, or close to the end. In verse 15 it says, "And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel." Now, first off, the children, the Israelites, they just basically got rejected by God in verse 14. It says, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen." So then what do the Israelites do? They don't like pretend. Like a lot of us, when we sin, we try to cover it up, or we try to just pretend it didn't happen. It's not a big deal. But look at what the Israelites did in verse 15. They said unto the Lord, "We have sinned." And then they said, "Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Now, a lot of us, we may admit our sins, but then try to get God, "I don't know, I promise I won't make the mistake again. Just don't punish me." But they said, "Do unto us whatever seems good unto you." So that's saying, just punish us however you see is a good way to do it. Now, but then they said, "Deliver us only, we pray thee this day." So they turned back to God. And in 16 it says, "They put away the strange gods from among them." It's calling them strange gods because if you know there's a big God that's doing all this powerful stuff, created everything, created every little detail about everything, all the animals, all the people, all the different kinds of people, all the different plants and stuff, all the different birds, all the different everything, and he had a plan for everything. And he did a bunch of powerful stuff that seems impossible to us, but you'd rather serve something else that, like, can't do anything, really. Can do one or two things that can't really do anything. Does that seem strange to you? Yeah, that's why they call it strange in the Bible. They put away the strange gods, because anything other than God that you're putting as a god is pretty strange. And they started serving the Lord, and his soul was grieved from the misery of Israel. And if you like read the next chapter and all, they end up getting out, and God helps them. So, it's not too late to turn to God. That's what I have to say. If you know you're serving another god, which I'm sure plenty of people are, plenty of people in here are serving other gods other than the real God, just don't keep serving them. I mean, you may be fun. I mean, it's fun to serve other gods, otherwise we wouldn't do it. But they don't help you at all. They just make your life worse, basically. But the big God, there's no reason not to turn to him. I mean, he can do amazing things for you and seriously bless you if you would just serve him and let him do stuff. And maybe even you're here and you've never put God first. You've never even gotten saved. You could do that too, because God is really good and will help you. So that's all I have to say. I guess we're going to do an invitation song now. But so yeah, we're doing an invitation. You can come up here if you want. If you've been serving another God and it's just been going on, and don't worry. I mean, just come up here and fix it. Well,